Okay, good evening. And on the agenda this evening for the public hearing, we have one resolution and two ordinances that stem from the annexation and development of 211.649 plus or minus acres of land into the town of Federalsburg. There are representatives here this evening on behalf of the applicants. Before the public hearing is opened, I would like the applicants' representatives to give an overview of the property and the proposed development of the property. I'll turn it over to Ryan or Bob.
I refer to Ryan.
I'm pulling up his document now for you all to see.
Okay.
Can you see that, Bob?
I can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Got this down to a science now.
There's a couple of
trying.
Others, but not many. There's three others.
Does this work? Is this where I should be?
Yeah, you can go ahead and talk there. The microphone will be loud enough to pick you up.
Okay. So, thank you all for your time this evening and your patience with my delay and arriving a few minutes late. Really happy to appear today on behalf of Aquacon Maryland LLC, which is a Maryland-based company that is a wholly owned subsidiary of Aquacon AS, which is a Norwegian company that is organized to produce salmon through land-based aquaculture. And the subject of tonight's public hearings are a series of ordinances and a resolution associated with annexation of land for the development of one of Aquacon's facilities in Caroline County and in the town of Federalsburg. And I thought before we talk about the substance of the annexation, it might be appropriate to take just a couple of minutes to talk about Aquacon for the council and members of the public. And so I have a presentation with a couple of slides, and I'll just walk through and Kim ask you to advance it. Occasionally. The first thing I think is really pretty interesting, and one of the first questions that I've had and I know other people have asked me about is, you know, think about aquaculture. Typically, at least in the past on the Eastern Shore, has been shrimp and small-scale fish farming, and salmon, I always think about clean, cold water and oceans. So how does salmon work in the middle of the field in Federalsburg? And salmon, the vast amount, vast proportion of the salmon that's consumed worldwide is produced in aquaculture rather than line or net caught. And almost all of the current salmon production is sea-based aquaculture. So it's through hatchery operations that put young salmon in net pens in the sea, and they're raised in a fixed location in pens and then removed from those nets and processed on land. And over the last decade or so, there's become a growing awareness that that has a number of negatives and challenges. The salmon require vaccinations or medication to deal with disease that is in the wild environment. There's the potential for salmon to escape from net pens and concerns about genetic impacts of having hatchery fish breeding with wild populations of salmon. Fixed salmon pens take a population that is migratory and moves its waste from the rivers out to the ocean while it grows and then comes back into the rivers to breed and raises in one location. So those salmon obviously are going to produce a lot of waste from the food that they eat, and that all gets deposited in one fixed location in the sea or the fjord. And all of those negatives are leading to an increasing stress on expansion of aquaculture in the sea. Also, there's a growing demand for salmon in the U.S., and sea-based aquaculture, whether it's in Scandinavia or South America, involves very significant transportation time and cost. Those fish are removed from pens and slaughtered and packed on ice, but then they have to be flown to the U.S. from Chile or from Norway and other parts of Scandinavia. So you've got significant fossil fuel impact, significant transportation and logistic cost, and then the time frame that it takes from the net pen to the market in the U.S., it reduces the shelf life of the salmon. So being able to produce salmon on land close to the U.S. market eliminates many of the negatives associated with sea-based aquaculture. It eliminates the vast proportion of the transportation cost, and it adds multiple days to the shelf life of the product. So what is proposed by Aquacon is to produce salmon in a very clean and safe environment, to be energy efficient, to look for every opportunity to make this as green as possible a project, and then to be able to generate proteins locally that we believe will have a premium in the market as a U.S. product. If you'll turn to the next slide, I think it's some members of the council have met some representatives of Aquacon. As I mentioned, they're a Norwegian-based company, and with COVID-related travel challenges, they're disappointed that they weren't able to be here tonight. But the Aquacon executive team is comprised of a number of very experienced individuals who collectively have a wealth of knowledge and experience relevant to this project, and individually are some of the leaders in their fields in seafood industry finance, recirculating aquaculture systems, and salmon aquaculture in particular. In addition to that expertise, which is based principally in Europe and comes from significant salmon aquaculture production companies, Bob Rao, who's on the phone, is the local design engineer, and obviously you're familiar with Bob and his capacity as town engineer. Aquacon also has a relationship with IMET, which is a division of the University of Maryland based in Baltimore, and Dr. Zohar, who is at IMET, is one of the world's leading researchers on anaerobic digestion processes in salmon aquaculture, and IMET has a memorandum of understanding with Aquacon and is a key component in the design and technological considerations associated with the project. Sort of touched on the next slide, which just shows there's an increase in cost associated with sea-based aquaculture. The growth in sea-based aquaculture is sort of stagnated. And if you look at the next slide, number five, there's significant growth that has occurred and that is forecast to occur in the U.S. consumption of salmon. And why Maryland, why Fettlesburg, I guess is the next question after, how does it work? Fettlesburg is uniquely positioned in close proximity to Marshy Oak Creek, has adequate excess wastewater treatment capacity. There are aquifers that provide ample supplies of water for the system. It's close to transportation systems. And the Eastern Shore in general has a tradition of seafood industry, which is attractive. In addition, the close proximity to IMET in Baltimore is also of interest. And of course, unsaid but important is the fact that there's 70 million U.S. Salmon consumers within a four-hour drive of this location is a really significant consideration as well. So the process that will be used, and we'll turn to the next slide, six, for this facility is called RAS, or Recirculating Aquaculture Systems. Aquacon has settled on a group based in Denmark called Aqua Group, which is the RAS technology provider for this system. Aqua Group has a number of recirculating aquaculture technology facilities in operation, and the technology that will be used will recirculate more than 99.9% of the water used to grow the salmon. All of the salmon production will occur indoors, and that leads to a large building, hence the size of this annexation and the land area that we had to pursue. The building will be a about 1.2 million square feet in size. All of the aquaculture operations will occur indoors, and so it will start with fertilized eggs, which will be hatched in a hatchery operation and moved into small tanks. And then the salmon will progress through a series of tanks as they grow over the next 12 to 18 months to marketable size. At the end of the process, the salmon will be slaughtered in the same building, and they will be sold gutted but head-on. So they'll be packed in ice but sold as whole fish, either to seafood wholesalers, restaurants, or grocery stores. The entire operation from the hatchery through the fish slaughter will occur within that building. The recirculating aquaculture systems will have separate trains of tanks based on the age class of the fish, and each series or train of tanks will have its own wastewater treatment plant, essentially. Think of a large-scale Baltimore aquarium. Each age class of fish will have its own treatment plant that will filter all of the waste, oxygenate the water, and recirculate that water so the fish can grow in it without requiring additional water input. The recirculating aquaculture system involves natural biological processes for treatment of the fish waste and treatment of the water. And one thing that is naturally occurring in Vettelsburg, in the water in the Marshy Hook Creek, and in these systems is microbial activity. There are algae and bacteria that produce a chemical compound called geosmin. It's a naturally occurring chemical compound. It is not pollutant. It's not harmful. But it's perceived by humans as a musty odor. And so the algae and bacteria in the system generate geosmin, and when it's recirculated, it occurs in higher concentrations than occur naturally. And the fish gather that and collect that in their flesh. And so the last stage of the aquaculture process is a process called purging. And the fish will go into a series of tanks that won't have recirculating water. Rather, they'll have water that is drawn from Marshy Hook Creek, and they'll swim in that water for about 5 days. They won't be fed in those tanks, and that water will constantly circulate through the tanks and go back to the river. When the fish live and swim and respirate in that, they will transfer the geosmin from their flesh back to that water. It doesn't cause any pollutants or contamination of the creek, but it will remove the concentrations of geosmin from the flesh of the fish. So we have a water appropriation and discharge permit pair of applications pending right now, and there'll be a raw water intake from the Marshy Hook with parallel 10-inch force mains to and from the facility. For that water to circulate through the purge tanks and go back to the Marshy Hook. The project will use 78,000 gallons of the town's wastewater treatment capacity, and so that principally is domestic waste from the employees, some wastewater from the fish slaughtering process, and then the other way that waste is addressed is through anaerobic digestion. So the fish guts and the solid waste that comes out of the tanks from the fish will be put into an anaerobic digestion process where it's broken down into an inert organic material and biogas. The biogas will be used either to run generators to power the facility and or to dry the solids that come out of the anaerobic digestion process. When the solids can't be digested anymore by that AD process, they'll be dried and sold as a soil amendment for agriculture. The digestate, which is essentially the liquid that comes out of the anaerobic digestion, would go to the town's treatment plant. So that domestic wastewater plus the digestate would be about 78,000 gallons per day. The domestic water needs are about 10,000 gallons per day. So that is the water need that we have from the town of Federalsburg. The project has on-site wells, and so the systems will be filled with groundwater initially, and then there's some loss to evaporation. So that evaporative loss will be made up by water withdrawal from the wells. What else? There is the possibility that if the water chemistry in one of these tank trains gets out of the appropriate range, it may be appropriate or maybe easier to pay to dispose of that water and start over than to readjust the chemistry. And so one of the things that we've talked to town staff about is the possibility of very infrequently have an incremental discharge to the town from one set of tanks if a tank train needed to be reset. That could potentially be up to 7 million gallons. And so we will have tanks on site in which all of that water could be stored. And if we have the need to deal with that type of wastewater disposal, we would pull it out of the interior RAS tanks, move it into the storage tanks, and then coordinate with the town on the need to dispose of that wastewater. We'd obviously pay you based on the volume that's sent to the treatment plant, and we would be in a position to be able to release that at rates that the town and the treatment plant could accommodate over time, whether that's 10 days, 30 days, 60 days, you know, it can be released at a rate that's appropriate for the town plant operation. The facility will generate about 120 jobs during its maximum daily shift, 30 to 40 jobs for an evening shift, and probably about 10 employees will be on site overnight. It'll be operated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Access to the site is proposed principally to come from the industrial park, and so one of the things that is requested as part of the annexation and the annexation agreement is that the mayor and town council own a small sliver of land between the annexation property and the cul-de-sac at the Frank M. Adams Industrial Drive. And so we need to work with the town for an easement across that narrow strip of town property so that we can have access from the industrial park instead of from Wright Road. Wright Road will still be points of access on Wright Road for passenger vehicles or for emergency vehicle access, but we committed to the county commissioners and intend to follow through with a plan to have all of the truck access occur through the signalized intersection for the industrial park. If you look at the last page, and we'll come backwards, the last slides. Slide number 8, that at least provides you with a conceptual design of the tank system inside of the building. And so you can see that it's a large building. It's entirely needed, and we fit as many tanks in there as we can. It's used very efficiently. Each color is a separate age class of fish, and in each series of tanks, 6 tanks, has a shaded rectangle at the end of it, 6 or 8 tanks, that's a separate treatment plant. There are 15 to 17 different treatment plants inside of the facility for these RAS systems. And then there are just a couple of images that show you what the tanks and the treatment systems look like. If you go back one slide, that's number 7. That's an aerial photo that shows the area that's proposed for annexation. And so it is about 211 acres. It's comprised of 3 different ownerships right now. Tuckahoe Underground LLC owns about a 10-acre parcel near the intersection of 318 and Wright Road. The Schmidt family or Schmidt Family Trusts own the largest portion of the property. And then Jim and Lori Paul own property at the southern half of the annexation boundary. The land that's proposed for annexation is contiguous with existing town boundaries. is designated in both the town and county comprehensive plan as a priority annexation area for the town. It's designated in both plans as being appropriate for future industrial development. The zoning that's requested from the town is your general industrial or ID2 zoning district. And we have two matters pending before the county. The first is a comprehensive water and sewer plan amendment to add this area to the service area of the town of Federalsburg and to designate it as S1W1 for immediate priority service by the town's water and sewer systems. The second request that's pending before the county is a request of the county commissioners to expressly approve the proposed town zoning. So as you may know, for a period of 5 years after annexation, the town does not have the authority to zone land in a manner that permits a substantially different use than the pre-annexation county zoning. That county zoning right now is commercial, residential, and agriculture. And so your industrial zoning is different than all three county zoning districts that apply today. The county planning commission favorably recommended approval of the water and sewer plan amendment and the zoning waiver or zoning approval. And the county commissioner's action on both of those is expected this month. So it would occur before the 45-day referendum period on the annexation would expire. Before you this evening, bless you,
thank you,
is the resolution for annexation of this land, and coupled with that resolution is an annexation plan that talks about the public services for the property that I've summarized, along with an annexation agreement that outlines the obligations of the petitioner to pay all the costs associated with development. The second item before you tonight is a zoning text amendment, which would add a definition for aquaculture to your town zoning ordinance, permit aquaculture as a use that's permitted by right in the industrial district, and to permit the processing and smoking of fish in the industrial district. And the third action, if you approve the annexation resolution, is a zoning map amendment to add the 211 acres that are proposed for annexation to the town's official zoning map and to designate it as ID2, the general industrial district. That was a lot. So if there are questions, I'm happy to respond to any of those.
When you say 7 million gallons, is that per tank or is that total?
7 million gallons is per tank train. So if you look at the picture with the multiple colors, you know, the yellow, for example, one of those yellow rectangles would have 7 million gallons. I think, and Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the initial fill, the water required for initial fill of the system is 70 million gallons.
Closer to 70 million total to fill it, and then each of those trains, which there are 9 major trains in there, are approximately 7 million, and the that 7 million gallons would be discharged. I think you explained this a little bit to separate tanks, so that we could then discharge it at an approved and controlled rate, either to the town's wastewater system or some alternative method that, if that became approved, but that's where that 7 million comes from.
One other point that I should mention that is in the annexation agreement, the connections to the Marshy Hope are proposed to be constructed within the state right of way within Route 318. We've requested that those be municipal lines so that they can be constructed within the state highway. And the annexation agreement requires the petitioner to pay the complete cost of design, permitting, construction, operation, and maintenance. So it will be a pass-through
those lines will be owned and owned by the town, but we will pay for all of the operation. And the plan is to have the intake on the west side of the Varsity Hope. We're going to go down 318 to Veterans Drive and then progress a little bit south and use an area of land owned by the town on the west side of the creek. The discharge or outfall is intended to be on the east side of the creek, just north of Route 318.
The appropriation side would also be located on a small parcel of land owned by the town, so we would need to work with the town in cooperation to locating that line through the town property.
Okay, thank you for the presentation.
Absolutely.
It was very nice. It's neat to see the inside pictures.
Mm-hmm. All right, so do you want to start now with the first resolution?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so first we have resolution number 2020-02, a resolution of the Mayor and Council of Federalsburg to annex certain lands located west of Wright Road and consisting of 211.649 acres of land, more or less, into the town of Federalsburg and to provide for the terms and conditions of annexation. Is there a motion to open the public hearing on resolution number 2020-02, a resolution of the Mayor and Council of Federalsburg to annex certain lands located west of Wright Road and consisting of 211.649 acres of land, more or less, into the town of Federalsburg and to provide for the terms and conditions of the annexation.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. At this point, we are asking for public comment on resolution 2020-02. Is there anybody that has a comment? Okay, seeing none, can I have a motion to close the public hearing on resolution 2020-02? Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, next we have ordinance number 2020-06, an ordinance of the town of Federalsburg to amend the official zoning map of the town of Federalsburg to apply the General Industrial ID-2 zoning district to certain lots or parcels of land annexed to the town by resolution number 2020-02, located west of Wright Road and consisting collectively of 211.649 acres of land, more or less. Is there a motion to open the public hearing on ordinance number 2020-06, an ordinance of the town of Federalsburg to amend the official zoning map of the town of Federalsburg to apply the General Industrial ID-2 zoning district to certain lots or parcels of land annexed to the town by resolution number 2020-02, located west of Wright Road and consisting collectively of 211.649 acres of land, more or less.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. At this point, we are looking for public comment on ordinance number 2020-06. Seeing as there are none, can I get a motion to close the public hearing for ordinance number 2020-06?
Sorry.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
You only have to read it one time.
Okay.
Unless you want to.
Okay. I finally have to read it once. I'm getting good at it. I know it's 211.649 acres now by heart. Next, we have ordinance number 2020-07, an ordinance of the town of Federalsburg to amend land-based aquaculture to permit such use in ID-2 zoning district and to authorize fish curing and smoking in the ID-2 zoning district. Can I get a motion to open the public hearing on ordinance number 2020-07?
I'll make that motion.
Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion passes. At this point, we are looking for public comment on ordinance number 2020-07. Seeing as how there are none, is there a motion to close the public hearing on ordinance number 2020-07?
I make a motion that we close the public hearing on ordinance 2020-07.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, motion passes. All righty. Now we'll start into our regular meeting. Go ahead.
Maybe just before you proceed into your regular meeting, the Maryland Department of Planning has a statutory right to be heard first as part of the annexation. It may be appropriate just to reopen the record and note that you received comments from them and make sure those are part of the public hearing record. I don't think it needs to be read, but I think it's important to note that those comments were provided.
Okay, we were going to provide a copy of the letter with the minutes. So
just read
the section.
Just reopen the public hearing on resolution 2020-02 and
okay.
Read. Let's see. That. Just read the whole.
The resolution part.
Yep, all the way down to. Just read the
with
whole
the copy of the letter.
Yep.
Okay.
Just read the whole paragraph. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do I need a motion to reopen the public hearing?
Yep, on resolution number 2020-02.
Okay, can I get a motion to reopen the resolution for the public hearing for resolution 2020-02?
I make a motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. So for resolution number 2020-02, their resolution 2020-02 was introduced on September 8th, 2020. Public notice of a hearing was provided in the Star Democrat once a week for four consecutive weeks from September 27th to October 18th. A copy of the annexation documents were sent to the Maryland Department of Planning in Caroline County on September 28th. The town received a response from the Maryland Department of Planning recommending that the town seek a waiver from Caroline County to rezone the property ID2 within the next 5 years. A copy of this letter will be attached to the minutes and available for public view. The town and applicants requested a waiver along with the amendment to the Caroline County Comprehensive Water and Sewage Plan, which is scheduled for a public hearing on November 10th. The Town of Federalsburg Planning Commission considered resolution number 2020-02 at their meeting on October 8th, found the annexation consistent with the comprehensive plan, and unanimously gave a favorable recommendation to the mayor and council.
So now do you want me to make a motion to
ask if there's public comment on...
So do we have any other public comment on the Maryland Department of Planning comment or back on resolution 2020-02? Okay, hearing none, can I get a motion to close the public hearing on resolution 2020-02?
So moved.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. All right. All right, so can we have the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next we have the annexation agreement. I'll turn that over to Lindsay for an overview.
Yep. So you all reviewed an annexation and public facilities agreement between the property owners subject to annexation and the contract purchasers between them and the mayor and council of Federalsburg. And I think Ryan kind of gave somewhat of an overview, but this annexation agreement requires that the petitioner would pay for any costs associated with connecting to municipal water and sewer, in addition to any engineering fees, construction, operation, maintenance, connection fees that the town requires, in addition to being financially responsible for any development on the property. It has in here that the town allocates 80,000 gallons per day of sewer and 10,000 gallons per day of water, subject to the petitioner paying for all charges and fees. They also have to treat the sewage or anything that would any discharge going to the sewer plant to the quality levels required by the town's sewer regulations. It contemplates primary access to the annexation property for commercial truck through Frank Adams Industrial Way. They will design and construct all of the public utility improvements and extensions at subject to their cost with review of the town. There's the Marshy Hope Creek intake and discharge pipe, which the biggest thing there is the method of intake and discharge will be subject to the town's review and approval and consulting engineers with cost of design, permitting, construction, operation, maintenance, repair, and removal borne by the petitioners. And the use of that pipe will be subject to a lease or other use agreement with terms agreeable to the town. The petitioners will grant the town easements or right-of-ways to access anything within the rights of... Sorry, lost myself there. Petitioners will grant the town at no cost rights-of-way or easements over its property and the event that such rights-of-way or easements shall be necessary for installation, maintenance, replacement, and or removal of public facilities. They will agree to any public works agreements that may be necessary. It provides the amendment to the comprehensive water and sewer plan in here, which we've already applied for with Caroline County. The appropriate notice is in here. And then to modify, it has to be agreed on by the party that it's subject to, and it I think that's about it. And I know I sent this to you all earlier, and we discussed it some last week. I didn't know if any of you had any questions or if it resolved any of your concerns, if there was anything additional you wanted to know or think should be provided.
I don't have anything additional. I know we went through it and made the changes, and I was fine with the changes that you made. Does anybody have anything else that was in the update from the discussion?
Oh, and going back to the 7 million gallons or the periodic discharge that may be necessary, whenever that is necessary or the petitioner deems it necessary, the method and timing of the discharge will be subject to approval by the town and consulting engineers and having available capacity in the treatment plant. And the rate of that additional discharge will be determined by the town based on what we can reasonably take at the time.
Okay, does anybody have any other discussion on that?
No.
Okay, if there aren't any, can I get a motion to approve the annexation agreement?
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes for the annexation agreement. Next we have, so I don't need to reread this paragraph, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So next we have resolution number 2020-02, the resolution of the Mayor and Council of Federalsburg to annex certain lands located west of Wright Road consisting of 211.649 acres of land, more or less, into the town of Federalsburg and to provide for the terms and conditions of the annexation. As previously stated in the public hearing, this information was advertised and we did receive some comments which were posted. The town of Federalsburg has adequate water and sewer capacity to serve the property and the proposed use as contemplated by in the annexation agreement. The property abuts the industrial park and the use is appropriate with the surrounding area. Upon reviewing the town of Federalsburg comprehensive plan, the annexation is consistent with the town's greater planning region, land use, and growth sections in the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan states that agricultural land uses, including potentially more intensive agribusiness uses and compatible with future growth and the expansion of the town, the annexation properties designated its planning area 5 for growth of the industrial use. Is there a motion to approve resolution 2020-02, a resolution of the Mayor and Council of Federalsburg to annex certain lands located west of Wright Road and consisting of 211.649 acres of land, more or less, into the town of Federalsburg and to provide for the terms and conditions of the annexation consistent with the Federalsburg Comprehensive Plan?
So moved.
Make a motion we approve resolution number 2020-02.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next, we have ordinance number 2020-06, an ordinance in the town of Fredericksburg to amend the official zoning map of the town of Fredericksburg to apply the general industrial ID-2 zoning district to certain lots of or parcels of land annexed to the town by resolution number 2020-02, located west of Wright Road and consisting collectively of 211.649 acres of land, more or less. Ordinance number 2020-06 seeks to amend the Fredericksburg zoning map to include annexed property in the municipal boundaries and zone the property ID-2. When the zoning of the property is amended or the zoning map is amended, the mayor and council are required to make findings pursuant to section 245-141 of the town code. The findings of fact for the ordinance are as follows.
Yep. Do you want me to read the findings and you all can all comment, or do you want to? Do it.
Doesn't matter. Whatever's easier.
Go for it.
Okay. Want to roll now?
Go for it.
First finding of fact was population change, including the annexed property into the town boundaries and amending the zoning to ID-2 will not impact the population. There is a possibility that an industry permitted in the ID-2 could bring jobs to the town, but is not expected to increase the population of the town. Is there any comments or thoughts on that fact?
No.
Okay, next fact is availability of public facilities. The town has adequate water and sewer capacity available to serve the property. The developer will be responsible for the connection to the town sewer and water systems and will be responsible for all connection and capacity fees and charges. Any discussion on that fact?
No.
Okay. Next one is present and future transportation patterns. Industrial traffic is expected to access the property through the industrial park, which is already supports industrial type traffic. The limited employee use of Wright Road is not expected to impact any transportation. Any comments?
I got one question on that.
Mm-hmm.
On the at the intersection of Frank Adams and Merrill 318, is there going to be a traffic light be installed there if the truck traffic is going to be pretty heavy, or we got to apply that through the state to get that?
Right.
We don't believe a signal is necessary, and the state, they control their highways, right, and don't want to have breaks in traffic.
Right.
So we expect about 35 tractor trailers per week in total. That's feed and chemicals coming in and fish going out, which we certainly wouldn't meet the warrants.
And that would probably be within a 24-hour period? Or
no, that's 35 tractor trailers per week.
No, but I'm talking about in the daylight traffic time, or is this going to be some of it coming in at nighttime, the traffic is lighter?
I don't know the answer. To be honest, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, The number of employees in the maximum shift is about 120. So if the traffic study is required by SHA and they determine that triggers some warrant, we'll obviously have to look at that. I don't think it will, but we'll do whatever the state requires.
Just a little concern there on that.
Okay, anything else on that one? Thank you. Okay, next is compatibility with existing and proposed development for the area. The area is primarily agriculture and industrial. Zoning the property ID-2 is consistent with the area, which is also a designated industrial growth area in the comprehensive plan. Any statements or comments on that one? Okay, next fact is the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The Planning and Zoning considered the ordinance and unanimously favorably recommended its approval after finding it consistent with the comprehensive plan. Any comments? Okay, next is the relationship of such proposed amendment to the comprehensive plan of Fredericksburg. The property is a designated growth area in the comprehensive plan, which is planned for the industrial growth rather than residential. Any comments on that one? Okay, these findings are consistent with the comprehensive plan for the same reasons stated during the annexation resolution.
Is there any more discussion? Okay, seeing none, is there a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-06, an ordinance of the Town of Federalsburg to amend the official zoning map of the Town of Federalsburg to apply to the General Industrial ID-2 Zoning District to certain lots or parcels of land annexed to the town by resolution number 2020-02, located west of Wright Road and consisting collectively of 211.649 acres of land, more or less.
I make a motion that we approve ordinance 2020-06.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next, we have ordinance number 2020-07, an ordinance of the Town of Federalsburg to amend sections 245-6 and 245-81 of the Federalsburg Town Code to establish a definition of land-based aquaculture to permit such use in the ID-2 zoning district and to authorize fish curing and smoking in the ID-2 zoning district. Ordinance 2020-07 seeks to establish a definition of land-based aquaculture permitted use in the ID-2 zoning district and authorize fish curing and smoking in the ID-2 zoning district. This use is consistent with uses already in the town code, including seafood packaging and agricultural uses. Is there any more discussion? Okay, hearing none, there is, I need a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-07.
Make a motion we approve ordinance 2020-07.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Yay, we're done with all those.
Do you need a water?
I know, right? Next, we have an update on Caroline County Strategic Plan. Ms. Debbie, you're up. That rolls right into, you know.
Wow, you guys know how to do it. You guys know. Debbie Bowden, Caroline County Economic Development Director. So I came before the council, mayor and council, earlier this year before COVID, and more importantly, before Larry came on board, to talk about the strategic plan for economic development for the county. And this is the a planning effort that my office is going through to update a strategic plan that was put in place 5 years ago. And it really is just a focus to help the county know where to put their resources and efforts in developing, in helping to develop economic development throughout the county. And since we have such a strong partnership together with the Town of Federalsburg and Caroline County, I wanted to come back and just reintroduce it again, let you know that Mary Mears is a consultant with me. She's been helping me to put this all together with all of the feedback that we got prior to March, and then reintroduce it and ask the questions, are things the same? Are they changing because of COVID? And so I'll give a little bit of an update of what we're looking at in light of the COVID-19 response. So the strategic plan has always been about looking out 5 years. So it's short term. It's not really a long timeline horizon. It's really what can be done. And it's asking the question, does the county in general, that's leadership, that's the business community, citizens, what is they want? What do they want economic development to do in the next 5 years? Are we looking at promoting, for example, biotech or cybersecurity, or as the answers are coming back, more along agriculture and innovation, along agricultural lines, manufacturing, a strong retail base to support influx, hopefully, of workers, but not necessarily to the level of, say, Ocean City, you know, not that type of retail base. Those were the answers that we got to the questions pre-COVID. I think after COVID, it's still along the same lines with looking at what does that mean in this new workforce? What does it mean for offering businesses the capability of planting here, however that looks, either virtually or brick and mortar? So with that, I ask the question now again of the mayor and council, of what does economic development look like in terms of Federalsburg? And again, really, I'm following one of the highlighted
economic it looks like fish right now to me.
probably of the last 5 years for Federalsburg. But in light of that, what's next? You know, let's, this was highlighted as an area for further industrial growth by the town. So if that comes to fruition, you know, where do we go from here? Where does Federalsburg, where would you like your growth? I haven't dug into your comprehensive plan, so I'm not sure where it's identified exactly, but just I would think it's maybe north along the pathway to like Burris and Trigas and Oil, but I could be wrong. So what would your focus be? And I'm asking the questions tonight. We can have a conversation, or you can respond back to me in a more formal manner. But is it still continuing to look at industrial growth with a focus on manufacturing? Is there a desire to shift to more of a commercial type where you would bring in, you know, accountants and attorneys and doctors and the professional commercial, or more of a service-based type of economy? Are you looking to build up the mom-and-pop businesses that, you know, by the grace of economic gods, were able to somewhat survive in Caroline County during COVID-19's, during the mandated shutdowns? So those are some of the directions that I'm looking for from the town to fit into the strategic plan for the county to say, okay, this is what we're going to look at in supporting the town of Federalsburg. This is what we would look at in supporting the area around the town of Federalsburg. And then how that fits in with the rest of the county. So I guess my ask tonight would be, do we have the conversation tonight, or do I put this, to consider this my formal ask, and ask for perhaps a formal response from the mayor and council at some point?
So I have a question. So we know that certain people have looked at certain properties. So if somebody calls you or calls your office and says, we're looking to just come to Caroline County, do you have, I guess, like a database or a list of certain properties and the square footage size that you send people to, and somebody could say, oh, that's kind of the size I'm looking for, or that has railway access, or that has, is that how you end up sending people certain directions? Or
It's not as structured as that. It really depends on what they're asking for. If it's something that I know that you guys know more about, I reach out to you. If it's something that's publicly listed through a realtor, I give them that information. And it a little bit depends on what they're, the type of business. So if it's industrial, I focus on Denton and Federalsburg because I know that there's the infrastructure to handle that. If it's rail and natural gas, it's just Federalsburg. That's it. That you guys, you have that advantage over a lot of the other towns in Caroline County and the surrounding area. If it's more about agriculture, say it's a nursery type of operation, then I will let them know about property that I'm aware of in the south part of the county. But that focus, the workforce, the subject matter expertise is in the north county. So there's not really, it's more of a conversation.
Okay.
But, you know, our development for business is always in the towns. Very rarely is there a place in the county, unless it's already established. We don't really have what a business needs to do new development within outside of town limits. So it's a long way. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, we appreciate our partnership with you, and we appreciate all that you've done, especially help with this project and sending people our way and helping us fill our buildings and some of the properties that we have. So
right. And I think that's probably, that's a short-term goal within the strategic plan, is to look at that opportunity for infill, I'm using that very loosely, at properties that's already that are already out there that are ready for development because they have the infrastructure. I think one of the things you, and it's going to be interesting to see how this changes with COVID-19, is that pre-COVID-19 business, like people, wanted the shiny new. You know, we're a society that wanted shiny and new. And so that's why you would see land and buildings that had been occupied and were no longer occupied people would look past them because they wanted to build what they wanted. And that's great. That's great economic engine for a municipality and for the county. It's going to be interesting to see when things shake out, both in an economic way and a public health way, if that's still going to be the case, or if folks are going to want to go where it's the path of least resistance for a known entity. So if it's a building that's already on a piece of land, you know that that's, you know, the infrastructure is there. So that's one of the things I think that we'll be looking at 2021-2022. And we'll fit into the strategic plan. We are doing this pretty quickly. We'll have a framework by January or February, and we'll have a better understanding maybe of what we expect things to happen nationally and how that may impact everybody at the county level, at the town level. And we'll fold that into it. But I think one of the things that Mary was very helpful in pointing out to me, say in June and July, when we started coming back online and we were helping businesses with the small business grants through the county, is that we were, again, well-positioned in the county and in the town. I mean, Fennelsburg had a rural farm scooping up in the middle of April, right? So we were well-positioned because we weren't relying on the economy of people and experiences, right? So we are not an economy in the whole county of where people have to be next to each other, hospitality, restaurants, etc. But again, we need those to support. So we're hoping that, you know, we can stay stable and continue to go on that path. And it's because of that strategy of we're not looking to be the next best shiny thing. We really want to stick close to our roots, pun intended. So again, you know, I'd love to have more formal input. Is there, should I make a email, or how would you suggest that I do that so that I can get a response from the mayor and council?
I would say you could do a formal email, and then we probably need to sit down and go through the comprehensive plan and update.
I would like to discuss it among ourselves and sort of have some sort of consensus thought.
And come up with what we would present to you.
Okay, that would be fantastic. So we'll send out something by the end of the week, then just making that ask.
Mayor, the Planning and Zoning Committee is already beginning to review the comprehensive plan for updating.
Oh, great. Thank you. Okay, so we'll get together and we'll chat, and then we'll forward our thoughts to you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. We appreciate all you've done and continue to do for us. Thank you. Okay, next we have the appointment of Parks and Recreation's committee members. Larry?
Mayor, member of the council, the advisory committee on Parks and Recreation that's created in Town Code Section 132-2 has been dormant for a number of years. Staff finds the reactivation and reappointment of committee members would be a help in the planning for future financial responsibilities, maintenance, upkeep, and potential growth of the parks and recreation open space areas. So a number of months ago, staff came and asked for council, mayor and council to consider reappointing members and reactivating that committee. Last month, staff was directed to contacting members who were still interested. Staff contacted the three members who were still interested, and all three have consented to be reappointed. And those are Chris Clark, Ian Stewart, and Chris Hancock. So, any further discussion with mayor and council, staff recommends reappointing those individuals to the Parks and Recreation Committee, as well as receiving other four members required by.
So you have we have three that are that we're redoing, right?
Correct.
And then you need four names?
Well, it looks like you only need two names.
Okay.
One of the members being appointed tonight has been busy recruiting other committee members.
Very good. Okay, so do you need a motion to appoint the can I have a motion to appoint Larry's list of Parks and Recreation Committee members? Do we have to do each one, or can I do the whole?
You can do them all at once.
Okay.
I make a motion that we reappoint Chris Parks, June Truitt, and Bruce Hancock to the Parks and Rec Committee.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. They're now back in business. Okay, next we have the USDA police car grant.
Members of the council, this is an update on the status of the application for USDA support in the context of grant and loan for a police vehicle. Town, as is attached, received notice that our funding was approved. What we don't have yet is the contract agreement, but what we do have is the amount that was approved by USDA. There's a not to exceed town contribution of approximately $11,000. Staff has presented a vehicle that exists at IG Burton and Seaford that would be available relatively quickly. This vehicle would replace one of the old Crown Vicks, which is approaching 150,000 miles. Also, since it's not going to be a pursuit vehicle, the aftermarket is a little bit less. So what we've got by way of this proposed vehicle, which is available, again, relatively quickly, is a 2020 Dodge Durango police package that comes to the tune of $34,682. And the equipment and installation for the aftermarket would be $8,085.13 for a grand total of $42,767.13. The grant was for the total award rather was for $46,000, so the town share would be at the $10,691.78 level. And again, as the staff report said, this would be not to exceed $11,000. So what the ask is of the mayor and council is to give approval for the mayor to sign the loan agreement when we actually receive it, which the chief is confident would be, from his discussions with the USDA rep, should be relatively soon. And by relatively soon, I believe that's a matter of weeks, not days. But it's also not a matter of months. So the expectation is that this vehicle would be here much sooner than the enterprise lease vehicles, which may be here as late as March or April.
And this vehicle took one of his vehicles out of the enterprise,
in
right?
In the future, right?
Not this group, but in the future one.
Correct.
We would not need to do that one coming up in a year or two, two years.
And one of the outliers, whichever is determined that whatever outlier there is, because the lease agreement, one of the outliers, I believe was 2025, was talking about four vehicles. This would, again, this isn't going to get the same wear and tear as a regular patrol vehicle because it's going to be for the detectives, but it does replace another old high mileage vehicle, which is going to need to be replaced anyway. So we're looking at some level of savings of the maintenance and repair cost on that future vehicle.
Okay, does anybody have any questions? Keith?
No, I think it's a good move. I was with L&W and I see you have two police cars trying to make one. So, yeah, I think it's a good direction.
Okay, can we get a motion for us to move forward with Chief accepting the grant and me signing the grant when the paperwork arrives?
I'll make a motion that we move forward with the grant process and allow the mayor to sign the grant when it comes in, or loan, whatever.
So. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor.
Mr. Parks would like permission to use the ball field in the spring.
Okay. It would be nice if we got them brighter lights.
And there was talk of a Veterans Day parade. Is that still in Any time?
Saturday, lineup is at 12.
Parade starts at 1.
12:30.
Yeah, and parade starts at 1.
Are we, is anyone participating from Marin Council?
I
can.
I will be out of town. I will be working.
Yeah. Didn't we let Ron know we were welcome? Because I think the last time
we did.
Discussed it.
I mean,
yeah,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, I think you and I had said that.
Yeah, and I think Ed had said he would participate too, so. Is that it? Councilman Windsor?
Yeah.
Councilman Sewell?
I appreciate the efforts that are being exerted with Pastor Annals and trying to resolve that situation. And I thought the chief had a very insightful response to him. So I just wanted to go on the record saying that.
Is there anything else? Mm-hmm. Councilman Maureen?
Other than what Debbie said, I talked to Carol Bruhan about the.
I was going to ask you about that.
The parking of his property, and he said he was not aware of it. I said you should probably get in touch with the town manager and the police chief to get something resolved, to get something posted for them not to be parking there after business hours and so forth.
Well, and his resident, because the barbershop said it was okay.
Oh, did?
Mm-hmm. And I texted back to we got a text from Chief that said the barbershop said that it was fine, and I said, we need to check with the building owners of that building, because they own that property, that tenant does not own that building.
Right.
So,
but
I was going to reach out to the Brohan, so, okay.
I reached out to Trent.
Good.
And the mobile baptismal thing, whatever that is not Pastor Annals' outfit, correct?
No,
that's a whole separate.
That's a separate.
That's what I thought.
It is, but I think they're in conjunction.
Well,
they're working together, but yes.
Okay.
Yes, he will find a new place to help to find a new place to park that. And it's not on town property. So. All right, Councilman Phillips?
Nothing at this time.
All righty. First, I want to thank Town Manager Vree and the Public Works staff for taking care of the issues for the flooding. Thank you for being on top of that and closing off what looked like a giant lake at the marina.
Marina
couldn't
lake?
See where things started and things ended. The geese were enjoying it.
That was small. Compared to what, like 15 inches?
Hey, look, I've seen that. Yes, I was canoeing down the main street that time we got all that rain. So thank you guys for being diligent on that. I would like to thank the police for being extra out and about for Halloween. I did see them out and about making sure that people were being safe. Thanks to Steve, to Director Diet and Sean for coming in last night to try to address the water issue. That has been resolved, and residents should be experiencing their normal water. And thank you for everybody that was on social media keeping up with that. It's very helpful. We have multiple people keeping an eye on that. I think people appreciate us being responsive when stuff like that occurs. And next we have Chambers Park cleanup on November 21st. The Lions Club is doing that. And we are also going to do a ribbon cutting for Joey Gray's Eagle Scout project for that new sidewalk on the 21st. So we'll get stuff out about that. And I'm going to pick up flowers tomorrow for the Veterans Day Parade. Men for Change would like to plant them in the gardens. So maybe if we can have Public Works clean out. They need to tidy up Main Street since we have a parade there on Saturday. So... And I guess make sure that whoever is working or not, we have barrels so we can close off whatever streets. Just make sure that's on their radar. And that's all I have. Nobody has anything else?
What's the update on the roof? We need to move forward. Don't drag our feet anymore on this.
Yeah.
Town manager concurs.
We've had some interest. We've got the site visit for the contractors who want to do a site visit and actually get upstairs and look at the situation firsthand on Thursday. And the deadline for some calls is Friday the 13th at 10 a.m.
Okay, so we'll have a little earlier than
that. Well, after last week, I think we were running out of buckets around there. We had more incoming than we had buckets to handle. It can't wait. It can't wait. I mean, it's fascia. It's mortar along the block. It's all sorts. It's holes in the roof. It's a mess.
It's just going to cause more damage the longer we wait. So hopefully they'll get that down squared away. Anything else? All right, then I will take a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Bye.
See you, Steve.
All.
And then there was one. I forget who the Henry was that was on this meeting.